You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The snap, the kick, it's been blocked again! How my! It's been blocked again! He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyree Cleveland, how my! I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, it's game day eve. It's your boy Corey.
It's Dan.
Delatory.
And your boy J Scott 25. What it do? What's good, y'all boys?
What up, 25?
Yes, sir.
Nick is driving to Baton Rouge, so if his audio is a little askew, that's why. Well, it's game day eve, boys.
Yeah,
game against LSU tomorrow. Tomorrow night, 7 p.m. How under the feeling? Lights.
How you feeling? Are you bounced back? I know that's the name of the episode we got here on the stream. Are you bounced back?
We're hoping to bounce back. I'll be cheering.
Gotta cheer.
I gotta do my part.
Yes. I'm gonna be a five star.
Just be negative, you know?
Five star all American fan over here, bro. I lay bricks. I get a brick every year for being an all American fan, Dan.
That's right. you wear the brick proudly. Guys, it's good to see you. It's gonna be a fun show. We're gonna welcome Joey Ivy in not too long to do our game day picks and just kind of talk a little bit with him about his time at UF, etc. As always, this show is sponsored by the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group. Again, if you are looking for a law practice that used to fight on the side of insurance companies, now fights against them for anything property, insurance related, pipe leaks, water damage, wind damage, hail damage, anything related to hurricanes, hopefully not a big issue this year, sinkhole damage, etc. They are the people that you want to call. Again, you can give them a call at 727-258-0043. You can visit their website at Dykus, D-I-C-U-S, Burke, B-U-R-K-E, law.com. Again, that's a Dykus, Burke, and Lewis Law Group for anything related to property and insurance claims. Again, Dykus Law Group, 727-258-0043. All right, guys, the Gators head to Baton Rouge for another night game. LSU right now is 2-0. The AP poll has them ranked third nationally. They're only allowing 8.5 points per game, which is 13th nationally, holding teams to just 44 rushing yards per game. They've played Clemson and Louisiana Tech. They held Louisiana Tech last week to just 154 yards and 7 points in that game. Garrett Nussmeier is their quarterback. Their leading rusher is Caden Durham, and their leading receiver is Aaron Anderson. Guys, let's get into the game a little bit. What are your thoughts on this game?
Man, I think this is going to be a real tough matchup for us. We're going into a hostile environment. We kind of know how this stadium is, and we kind of know how this game kind of goes for us rivalry-wise. But my only worry is that this was a young team last year that we necessarily didn't really struggle with, but they gave us a good game until the end, and we managed to pull away last year in the end. But this is a team coming back with a lot of returning players as well as we have. I'm just hoping that maybe we be able to stretch the ball downfield and be able to get our receivers going this game. I think it was Elijah Badger last year had over 100 yards receiving on them.
Yep.
So I'm pretty sure we have guys capable of doing what he did last year. Hopefully we can repeat that and make that go. We got year two, Jaden Ball. Maybe he can bust a 100-yard game for us against them tonight. So that's just my hopes, man. I think they have a returning team, and so do we. So at the end of the day, it's our guys versus theirs. We can't sit here and just tuck the tail and say everybody else is more talented than us and just kind of be scared because of our coaching and whatnot. I think you need to go out there and play ball and just let it hang, man. These boys need to go out there and have fun. This is the type of game where you just are playing for – you playing for the name on your shirt, not the one on the back. Kind of like you playing for this logo in this game. And just kind of make a name for yourself in this game because it's always going to be remembered.
Yeah. Well said, Jordan. Like, not to repeat anything he said. The most important game, every game going forward is going to be the most important game of our season. But from a momentum standpoint, keeping the locker room and everybody engaged, I think this is a very important game going on the road. We beat LSU last year. LSU defense is going to be, you know, they're top 10 and not giving up explosive plays, right? I think that's and we've struggled with getting explosive plays. So I think the key for us to be able to win this game is to get explosive. They don't have to be just in the pass game, but run game, pass game. I think we need chunks of yards. I think we need to get more possessions. We're like ranked 118th, and I think play per second. So I think we need more offensive possessions. LSU doesn't run the ball well under Brian Kelly. So I think we can make them one-dimensional. Mm-hmm. That's ideal on the road, is to take the run game away from them and then just make them one-dimensional. When Garrett Nussmeier got one-dimensional last year, we ate off of him. But we're going to have to play tighter coverage with the corners. The 8-10-yard cushions, I don't think you want to give LSU wide receivers free releases, you know, all this game. It may work the last two games, but going into SEC play and guys that can stretch the field, we're going to have to disrupt some routes. Billy's going to have to hit the wide receivers, too, on the offensive side of the ball. We can't come in here trying to play 12 personnel. We're on the road. Trying to play it close to try to see if we can put it off at the end is just not a good strategy, considering the predicament that we in season-wise. They're coming in as the hotter team. You know, they got a signature win. We can look at last week. Oh, they struggled a little bit. Man, they beat Clemson, who was a top-5 matchup at that time. Mm-hmm. So they're 2-0. Looking like a playoff caliber team. So the pressure's on us. Yep. Let's see if we can deliver.
Yeah, only two plays, Corey, like you said, only four plays this season over 30 yards for the Gators. Nick, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, this is – I almost don't know if this is the game that you want to, you know, run at a higher tempo, Corey, and, like, run more plays. I think you'd want – less drives if you're eating up clock. You know, long, sustained drives kind of take the energy out of a stadium. Jordan already mentioned how hostile it is. This is, for me, it's the Swamp and Death Valley. It's like 1A, 1B. I've been to Tennessee. I've been to the Bryant-Denny. This is one of the best venues. Listen, you give those people are probably already tailgating right now at 10:15 on a Friday. I think it's you want to try to sustain drives and probably limit the number of possessions for both teams. Two good defenses. I was talking with somebody this week, and LSU plays defensively, exactly like you've been talking about, Corey. They play press man. They're up in your face mask. They can tell what you ate for breakfast before the game. And that's an area where, If they're going to do that, that's a coverage that DJ was able to be successful in last year, hitting deep passes. The two teams that for his face have been like cover three shell, making him kind of throw those intermediate passes. LSU's going to challenge you. That's just the way they are defensively. So look for that. Look to get the running backs involved in the passing game as well, especially if LSU, if you're not going to be able to run the ball or establish the run against that front seven, look to get the Jaden Ball, Jacoby Jackson, looks to get those guys involved in the passing game as well. It's going to be a tough game. You're going to need, Billy likes to talk about those, you know, the hidden yards on special teams. You're going to need Tommy Doman to have a good game. You need Trace Mack to have a good game. And it's another week where their punter has a tendency to hit some line drives. Another week to watch 8 on punt returns.
Yeah, I mean, obviously a very tough matchup for the Gators. Not a game that's unwinnable by any stretch of the imagination if you think of what the players that Florida has, right? You know, hopefully this is a bit of a bounce back game for DJ Lagway, who, you know, so far probably hasn't started the season the way that most fans would have predicted. Hopefully this is an opportunity for, you know, maybe some game day decision making. What do we do with, you know, as Corey calls them, the Ferraris, right? You have an opportunity to break out, you know, some of the wide receivers against this defense. And, you know, LSU has a good defense, but Florida also has some great wide receivers. What are we going to do to attack them and force them to either play for the pass or play for the run? Obviously, Jaden Ball, guy that we're all very high on, you know, has the opportunity, we think, you know, to have a breakout season this year. And can he do it against LSU? And if they're going to stack the box expecting the run, is Florida going to be able to expose them on defense? You know, this is a game that Florida has an opportunity to kind of prove everybody, including us, wrong, that they just had a bad game. And it just, that's not indicative of the rest of their season. Against USF. So, you know, expect a lot. Hope that the Gators can execute better in this game. Hopefully situational play calling is a little bit better than what we saw against LSU. And, you know, hopefully we're finally in a position where we can look at this team the way that we thought they were going to be at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, that's my problem with shortening the game. You shortening the game, we haven't been the most successful in the red zone. You know, we getting 3 points. I think this offense, I know what their philosophy is, to shorten the game. To me, coaches that try to shorten the game, they don't believe that they can actually just go out and win it. Like, to me, that's a poor mindset scheme, is to shorten the game. You shorten the game when you're, you know, UF trying to rebuild and you're going into Bama, a team that's just super dominating, and you just want a chance at the end of the game. Where we at the program, Florida should never be in that stance of we just trying to shorten the game to win. No, we got Ferraris, bro. Like, pick up the tempo. Like, this is 2025, bro. This is not 2012. Like, let's go get points. All that passive, let's just try to get to the end of the game, one possession. We've proven that we can't out-chest people. Like, go out-score them. So, do I think we're going to come in and try to shorten the game? Yeah, I just think it's a false philosophy, and we're going to fail if we try to do that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. LSU right now on defense, is Jakeem Jackson still hurt? He's only played a couple snaps this year. Jack Pyburn, one of their worst ranked players on defense. So obviously,
throw too much shade, but I get why they're doing it. They put Jack in like all of their promos this week for like selling tickets for game day, all this stuff. So I was like, all right, let me go see what he's done. Went to PFF like you did, Dan. I'm like, oh, okay, never mind. Not having a good season, just doing it because he came from Florida.
I don't even know if LSU fans know who Jack Pyburn is based on his performance this year, right? And like, unless you're trolling Florida, like, you know, kind of a weak troll, in my opinion.
100%.
Let's see. I'm just trying to look here.
While you look at that, I have a question for Jordan.
Yeah.
Jordan, what you played there one time?
Yeah.
16. That was the hurricane year. I went back. I wrote about it this week. I watched it. Watched 2-5 carrying the ball. Yes, Michael P. Ryan took Jamal Adams for a ride, I think, that game. Or took somebody for a ride.
Pause.
Nasty to punch that game.
It wore him like a backpack. What is it like as a player? Because I talked about, you know, I'm sitting way up in the press box. What is it like as a player there? Y'all almost got into a fight. Leonard Fournette's bald head was like not supposed to play. Then y'all get into a fight.
I was shocked a little bit. Obviously, going into it, you know, a lot of people, you got the hype video before the game, as usual, which we always have for every game. Going into it, I'm like, okay, like I played LSU last year, whatever. Like it was fine. It wasn't that much behind it. But I just feel like that 2016 year when it was, especially when the fight broke out in warmups, I'm like, okay. Well, I guess this is what type of game it is today. Like, you know, my boys here, my boys are already trying to step. So, shoot, let me act accordingly. I guess it's this type of game. Let me get my game face on, you know. Let's get that. Let's match the energy of what these guys have already shown me. So from just seeing that, it kind of made me switch into another gear early. And obviously that transition into game time and then defense played lights out. Offense was doing their thing, running the ball hard. We ran at will. We were literally running the same exact play, like nonstop. We just kept running power, power, power. He probably hit zone like maybe four times that whole game, but it was really just power right, power left, nonstop, because they just couldn't stop it. So I felt like once we kind of just got smooth and dominated like that, it just felt comfortable for everybody. The offensive line felt comfortable because, shit, we can call the same play, and we're mauling these guys 5-6 yards off the ball. So don't stop it, coach. So it was a great experience overall, man.
Over here, gassing up the running game, completely forgetting about Gator legend Austin Appleby hitting a 98-yard pass to Cleve. I was talking to Cleve at practice. I'm like, what is that like? Because, like, you shook a guy off at, like, the 30. And then you look up, and there's nothing. There's just 70 yards of grass. I'm like, how do you not, like, freak out or trip? He's like, bro, he said that was one of the top five experiences of his Gator career.
Nah, for real, bro. I was scared too, because I'm like, Austin, please don't get hit in this end zone right now. I'm running a swing around the end zone like ain't nothing back here. Don't throw it to me, because this is a dude right in front of me, and don't get sacked. He took that one-on-one ball with Tyree, though, and Tyree threw off. I think it was Dante Jackson. I think he's still in the lead. He threw him off and hauled behind all the way, 90-some yards. I'm like, wow, this is what we're doing right here.
I love it. Well, finally, before we welcome Joey Ivey, LSU has four sacks on the year on defense, zero fumble recoveries, just one interception on the year from Mansoor Delane this season. So ultimately, Florida finds itself in a bit of a a challenging game mentally for them, physically. You know, there's an opportunity here. LSU has looked good on defense, maybe not the same high-powered offense that some people were expecting out of Garrett Nussmeier, but an opportunity to prove the haters wrong. With that, we are going to welcome former Florida Gator defensive tackle from the University of Florida, and then played in the NFL for a number of years, Joey Ivey, to the program. Joey, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Yep. What's going on? Good to be back with you guys.
Well, Joey, I'm sure Jordan told you we're going to play a little bit of buy or sell. Sorry about that, Corey.
Jordan, what's good, man?
What's up, baby?
You're good. Jordan was one of my favorite teammates. Always smiling, always positive.
Yeah, man, I loved you and Andrew. Yeah, y'all are my boys.
Yeah, man.
Joey, we want to get you in our game of buy and sell here in a bit, and we're going to play a little over under, get some predictions out of you. But I don't think we've had you on the show before, so want to maybe get to know you a little bit. Originally from what?
I think one time. I think
we had Joey. Yeah, maybe
2 years ago, a year ago.
Yeah, 2 years. You're right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, well, my bad.
I remember all crazy day. Crazy.
I was just a D tackle. Don't worry, man. We get
No.
You actually brought some juice there. I remember it vividly, man. Dan's losing the step, man. He's got a new
I got in a car accident on a Wednesday. I have amnesia. All right. I know. I'm all good. So let's see. So Joey, give us your thoughts on the Gators this season. I'm sure you've been watching, relatively closely. Obviously I think a lot of fans expected a little bit different. What are your thoughts so far?
I'll be completely honest with you. You know, I watch the games. I haven't been as invested with keeping up with players and coaches as much lately, real life stuff outside of football. But from my perspective, just watching, we're at an interesting time in college football, with the NIL stuff and the portals. So it's hard for me in a sense to even watch football because it's no longer what football used to be, because when me and Jordan played, there was just so much culture involved in a team, in a winning team. And when you got in a portal like this where guys can just come in anytime or leave anytime, it kind of destroys the culture a little bit, because you could have a guy come in. One, you have two toxic guys come in, it can ruin a whole team. And people don't talk about that enough. And then the whole NIL, I mean, if you want to be the NFL as a college, you got to have some type of cap, you got to make it fair to all these teams. So with that in play, it makes it difficult for a lot of these coaches because it's no longer the traditional college football. It's turning into the National Football League. So with that being said, I believe it's all about winning at this point. It's like, don't give a flying F about who's in there. Just we need to win. We need results. I mean, at the end of the day, it's become strictly business. And as much as I'm a firm believer in building up young men and building up their character and developing players, because that is, you know, the game is at the end of the day, 90% mental, 10% physical. As far as preparation, confidence, focus under pressure, there's a lot that goes into the game itself. And, you need good coaches that can build up men. You need good position coaches that can mentor guys. But if you're not winning and you're not pushing results in today's age of football, you got to go, because that's what fans want, what teams want. When you got an organization like the University of Florida, which, I would say they're, as far as history and fan base, they're a top five school. You got to drive results. So with the head coach, I think Billy Napier is and I've never met him, so I've only been back once or twice, and I need to start. I would love to start coming to more games and being more involved. It's hard when you're done with football, because it's like Jordan could probably talk about this. When you get done with football, you don't want anything to do with it for about a year or two, because it's hard to watch. It's like you work so hard to get to a goal, right? And then sometimes it doesn't work out, whether that's injuries, depth chart, timing. A lot of times the league is all about timing. What draft class you came in, when you were on a team, you had an opportunity, were you healthy? There's just so many little things that go into play. So when it doesn't work out for a lot of guys, and I've talked to a million different guys, it's the same thing. It's hard for us to get it, watch football and be and you get through it. But from my opinion, Billy Napier seems like a great guy, players coach. But we just, he's got to be able to get the job done. The game management's got to be there. You're on the highest stage of college football. Losing to US, no shame on USF, because I'm from the Tampa.
Preach, brother Joey. Preach, brother Joey.
I'm from the Tampa area originally. So USF has always been a team that, like, you want them to do good because – they were a smaller school, but now when they're playing your alma mater, of course you don't think in a million years USF is going to beat Florida, but that right there, I mean, that can't happen. That's as bad as when we lost that. Remember we lost to FAU back in the day? That was a little bit different though, in my opinion. Wait, we didn't lose the FAU.
No, you almost won 9-6.
I was at that game.
Georgia Southern. Yeah, that
was too close for comfort, though. You're
that was
right.
Too close for comfort. But we were in a situation where Will Muschamp was getting fired. No one gave a shit. Remember, Jordan, you were on the team at that point, right?
I came to follow it.
I was there. Oh my! Look, we were. We turned the whole team room into a club. we didn't want to practice. So we took all of our
go
pads
back to the club. Hold on. Tell us the club. I was. What do you mean? You turned the whole room into a club?
Oh man, I think it was T. Riles was kind of leading that. That guy, I love that guy. So we had these lights. We had a music video up on the screen. I guess we were just tired of full padded practice when we were losing and with Will Muschamp going. So we just, the coaches came in and we basically turned the whole team room into a whole club. Like people were dancing and it was hilarious. Then we had days where we'd take all of our pads, put them in the hallway. We had the guys saying, we're not doing full pads. But you know what? As bad as that sounds, that was something the team came together and bonded on. That actually, when Durkin kind of took over, he was like, I've never seen you guys come together like this. No pads. He took our. So Durkin was great, but going through that experience, losing to Georgia Southern was more of an experience of guys just didn't care. When you're starting your season and you got a guy on the hot seat, you can't lose to a team like that. So the only way to bounce back is to win some of these big games. They got to somehow pull off this win against LSU. Somehow. It's got to be pulled off. Yeah. I mean, players got to step up. you know, offense and defense. The coaches got to step up with game management. You know, it's football is the game of it's all the little things that matter. Every single little thing matters. I mean, even special teams. I mean, special teams can make a play that can change the direction of the game. And it's got to be everyone. Everyone's got to buy in. You know, the when a new coach comes in, or you know, was it's Billy Napier's was fourth year? Am I correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, even guys now transferring, and you have to, if you don't buy in 100%, it's, you know, it's not going to work out. And then you got it. We got to have some discipline, you know, the penalties and stuff that I saw, you know, a guy spitting on another player. I don't care if he got that from, you know, watching the whole deal with the Cowboys Eagles, like, that's unacceptable. I mean, you got to have discipline, guys. I mean, it's a game of inches. I mean, just like when we played LSU back when it was what, was it 16-10? 16-10? It's a game. That's a great example of the game of football, you know, to clinch the East. I mean, 16-10, you know, we made that stop, but that's a great example of, you know, one player, one person not doing his job and not doing the right thing, and we lose that game, you know? And that's what these SEC games will come down to. I think if anything, the loss like this will put some. It's going to do one or two things. It's gonna. Some guys, if they don't learn to get over the past, they're going to hang their head down, and if they can't get through that mental load, we're gonna see some bad results. But if everyone buys in and just focuses on the present, you know, some of the best coaches will tell you, don't think about yesterday, don't think about the past. You know, attack each and every day. And I use that with my everyday work now, because if I get stressed out about what my goals are, or what I'm going to do, or thinking about what happened yesterday, I can't be the best version of myself today. And that's how these guys have to be. They have to be the best versions of themselves. Like, you know, it's when that LSU game starts, they can't think about USF. They got to think, you know, I mean, yeah, they can use that as motivation, but this is make or break for them, these type of games, you know. And it's interesting enough because Nussmeier, his son, I remember when he was Jordan, you remember his son? Dude, it's wild, yeah, man. That's how you know we're getting old. You know, you see a starting QB at you know, top QB in the league. I remember when he was a little kid. You
know? Yes, bro. When I saw him playing last year, I'm like, is that really Coach Nuss's son out there?
Oh my god!
I'm like, what the heck? Right. I mean, obviously, I knew he was going to be a baller. I knew he was going to be playing ball, but I just didn't think it was coming this soon. It definitely made me check, like, dang, I guess I am getting that old, huh?
Right. Right.
No, yeah, go ahead.
We got the hardest schedule in college football right now, so it's going to be all about mental toughness for these guys. Next man up, you know, if someone gets injured, next man up. And there's a lot of pressure on these coaches because, you know, game management is a big part of it. Look at some of the best teams I was a part of in the league. You know, I was a guy that bounced. I was fortunate enough to get tons of opportunity because I had the potential. But the guys, you know, the best organizations like Kansas City Chiefs, I was with that team for about 2 years. The locker room was incredible. The culture was incredible. The coaches were students of the game. I mean, the game management was amazing. I mean, it just goes to show culture is what is gonna make and breaks teams. Yeah, talent is a must, and that's obvious. So you got to recruit the right guys. You got to get the right guys in the building. But if you don't have the culture and the guys that buy in, you know, you're not going to go anywhere. I mean, it's. You know, some of the most legendary coaches, they had a standard, and the players had to stick to. They had to buy in, and they had to be part of that standard. If not, get them the F out of there. They're not part of it. It's a cutthroat business at this point. You know, when you're a top team like this, it's a cutthroat business. If you don't want to be here, transfer out. You know, you got to have that mentality, especially with how with college football changing.
All right. Well, let's get into the show a little bit. We didn't announce Caleb Banks will be back this week. Treyon Webb, Dallas Wilson, LJ McCray, Michael Carraway, Fletcher Westfall, and Scott Isaacs are out of this one. But Joey, we're going to play a little over under here, or a little buy or sell as we go on. So we're just going to go round table. So you're going to give us your thoughts, but we'll start with you, Nick. DJ Lagway, over under 225 yards passing.
Yeah, we talked about LSU's run defense, and LSU likes to play that press man. Give me over. It's been a slow start, but give me over.
Okay. Jordan.
Yeah, I think I'm laying with the over here, man. I think he turns a new leaf this game. Like we mentioned earlier, he had a slow start, I believe, because of his banged-up training camp. So maybe he has two games under his belt now. Kind of feels a little bit more comfortable with his reads, maybe feel a little bit more comfortable stretching the ball downfield. Who knows? Maybe one of these screens actually pops for us today and it can make his stat sheet look pretty. Either way, it goes. Right? I'm on the over either way.
The law of averages, Jordan, if you throw 40 a game, one of them has to hit.
Come on. We got so much skill out there. It got to pop eventually, fellas. Hopefully it's this game right here.
That's what I've been saying.
It's not totally how the law of averages works, Nick. But, Corey, you go ahead.
I go over. Hopefully he can clean up. He left some production on the field and missed some reads last week. So hopefully they jumped in the film room, clean some things up, and we can, you know, double back down on some of those throws that we missed last week. So give me the over.
I'm gonna go over too. Joey.
So I actually, when I got to go, I think it was last year when I went down, I think we were actually traveling back to Tampa. Stopped at UF. I actually got to meet DJ, and wonderful dude. Wonderful dude. You could tell he holds himself to a certain standard. Very humble. I think is I'm with all of you guys on the over. I think as long as he can keep his head up mentally, because you know that's one of the most mentally challenging positions on the field as QB. If he can keep his have that mental discipline, and I hope they got him with you know, some of the greats have a sports psychologist, and I think that's a big part of the game. You know, I mean, look at Brady. All of these guys, all these greats, they have somebody working on that mental side of the game, getting over mistakes. If he can keep his head up and not, and like I said, just focus on that game and be the raw talent, pure talent he can be and lead that team, absolutely over. Absolutely.
Perfect. All right. So we got five overs there. Jaden Baugh, 100 yards rushing in this game. Nick.
I'm going to go under just because of LSU's rush defense. I need him to get, I think, at least 76 for my 1,000 yards on the year. Stay on pace. Under, probably in the 80s.
Okay. Jordan.
You know I'm over all day, man. My boy's about to go crazy. Man.
For running backs in Jordan, we need to add 50 yards to any over-under.
Yeah, I got to up the ante.
He has to have a whole different number.
Because 100 ain't enough. We go for 100 every game. Especially if they give my boy all the carries he deserves this game. Hopefully they
there lies the problem.
Yeah, I'm about to say, hopefully they saw what's been chirping on and they want to please the fans and giving Jaden Baugh the ball more. So if they do that, I'm definitely confident he'll break that. But if they snub him like last game to where they're giving him half the carries he deserves, I mean, it's definitely up for grabs then. But I'm laying with the over, like I said.
Okay. Corey.
Over, man. I just think they, you know, the coaches ran into some common sense this week, you know, in preparation. And, you know, a guy that's probably one of the best running backs in the country had 50 yards the first drive and kind of disappeared. Don't overthink this thing. Feed the monster. You know, make them load the box. If they load in the box, then try to go vertical. I know I'm speaking a lot of common sense. But, yeah, feed the machine. 13 is the best player on offense. Feed them. Over 100.
I'm going to go under. Joey.
So for me is like, so the off, and I'm gonna bring it back to the O-line. Cause I think the offensive line looks, a lot of starters returning, experienced group. They seem strong. I think the performance under pressure still tested a bit, as we could tell, last week. I think if those guys come to play, which they should, I mean, it's an SEC game. It's a different mentality, Jordan. You know, so it's an SEC game, it's time to strap it up. And if, right. You know, go, if you're not ready, you better go home. So with that being said, if the O-line comes out and does what they're capable of doing, I think it could be definitely with that running back talent, I would say over for sure.
Perfect. All right, guys. Sacks, 1.5 sacks. The Gators get 1.5 sacks in this game. Over, under. They have 2 on the season. Nick.
Over. Over. Give me a handful. What did they get? I think they got Nuss 7 times last year.
Yeah, they got a lot last year.
Over. The last two offenses, the way that their game plan was, one was a triple option. The next was to get the ball out quick. We did not get a lot of pressure, though, against USF, even when Brown was dropping back. But give me definitely 2 or more.
Okay. Jordan, over?
Yeah, I'm over. Just based off the last time they played last year, I feel like Nuss holds on to the ball a little longer than he should. I don't know if he's cleaned that up in the past year or not. So hopefully the environment can get a little hostile for him and we can get back there and ruffle up some feathers.
If the environment's getting hostile for him in LSU, that means Florida's doing their job.
That's what I'm saying. Let's try it out.
I think getting Caleb Banks back is huge. Corey?
Yeah, for sure. Caleb being back definitely helps, but the defense isn't attacking like it was last year. I think Armstrong had a lot of his fingerprints on the way the defense operated down the stretch last year. Against LSU, we attacked them from a lot of different angles. I just haven't seen us attack like that this year. You know, the pass rush just hasn't been there when quarterbacks do drop back. I'm going to go under until I see this defense lives up to what that front 7 can do, or the front 4 more in particular. Banks being back, he could draw some double teams and free up some other people. But for right now, defense isn't playing bad, but it doesn't look stylistic the same as it did towards the end of the year last year.
So under.
Correct.
I'm going to go over. I think Caleb Banks coming back is going to be good for that defensive line, hopefully. Joey?
Yeah, I'm with Corey halfway as far as what I've seen so far. But at the same time, as a former D lineman, you know, when it's an SEC game and you got that crowd pumping you up and you got there's a different fire that's lit. So I think if these guys can, hit the potential and the right scheme is drawn up, I definitely can see it over happening. Scheme is everything as well when it comes to rushing and film stuff, breaking down the film, understanding who's the weak guy on the line. If the DC has a good game plan, D line coach has a good game plan put in place. There's definitely some talented guys I could see over happening. But this is, like I said, this is the test. This is the test for the season. So, as much as I want the win, this is going to be, we're going to see who came to play and who we're going to have this year as far as talent. This game, there's going to be a test for the remainder of the season for sure.
This is the season right here, man.
This is it.
I don't care what nobody say. This is it.
This is it.
We're going to figure out a whole lot tomorrow.
Garrett Nussmeier has been sacked. Looks like 4 times this season so far. Turnovers. Gators get 0.5 or more. So they get 1 or more. Nick.
Give me 1. A shockingly low number, Dan. Give me 1.
Yeah, it is a low number.
LSU's fumbled the ball twice, and they've thrown 1 interception. So what would you have liked the line set at?
I like it because it made my choice easy. 1.
Okay, over.
Got it. Lock me
Jordan.
In.
I think I'm going to have to go under on this one. I feel like it's going to be a heavy emphasis on the team who makes the least mistakes kind of win. And they're at home. It's not as hard for them, obviously, dealing with the environment and stuff like that. So I feel like they're going to try their best to protect the football and try to play a clean game so they can win. Because they know the talent that we have. So I think that their coaches are preaching just to play a clean ball game to get out of there safe. Because they probably believe that they're the better team just based upon a loss that we just took. So they're like, we're better than these guys. Let's just play clean football and get out of here, blah, 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 blah. So they're going to try to play clean, but I think our dudes will do a good job of overcoming a lot of adversity and beating these guys. But I think they'll probably do fine in the turnover margin.
Okay. Corey?
Give me the over. I like the over. Baby Lamar Black going to get me one. I like Bryce Thornton to get me a pick at least. Nussmeyer loves Thornton. He loves him. That's one of his favorite receivers. So give me at least one, bro. I think we pick him off. I think Bryce Thornton get me one, man. Shout out to Baby Amon Black.
I like the Gators.
Bryce has a receiver number.
He does with the 18.
I like the Gators for two turnovers this game. Joey.
I'm going to go with the over. And the reason why is I think the last week the situational defense was under heavy scrutiny. So the long drives, failing to stop key third downs, you know, the mismanaging the clock and field position, a lot of those issues surfaced that we saw. And
substitution.
So substitution, everything. I think when you have – I can only imagine – the amount of cussing that was being done in that film room.
I don't think any cussing was done, Joey. Right. I'm going to be honest with you. It was a nice Bible study environment, wholesome. A therapy environment, I would say. I don't think there was any cursing from Billy, bro. That's a saved man.
Well, I'm talking on the defensive side, though, you know, as far I mean, the film was probably, there's some stuff on that film that I know for a fact. I mean, players are going to get, when I played, you get fucking called out, excuse my language.
For that's must change.
You're going to get
cussed out on the field.
You're going to get, you're going to get called out. You're going to, in front of the whole defense, and you're going to sit there and be like, dang, I let my whole team down. So somebody's going to come up with a play, because if they're not pushing situational defense at practice, and if a player doesn't realize, dang, like me not knowing my shit is gonna let the guy next to me down. And last week was a good example of it. You know, you mess up because you're out partying, or you're too lazy to get in the playbook and study your film and take the extra step to know your stuff. You're letting the guy next to you down. This is a team sport. You know, that's called being a selfish player. When you're not, there is no excuse for being misaligned. There's no excuse for not knowing your playbook. I can't stand those guys. I can't stand guys that don't know their stuff. It drives me absolutely crazy. You have one job. You have one job. It blows my mind when guys can. It's one thing if maybe somebody has a lower IQ. I get that, and no shame on that. So you got an accountability partner for it. But you play in SEC football. You can't be messing up. I mean, in the league, you mess up, they're cutting you. You know, you can't. You know, we're playing SEC football. You got to be in that playbook. You know, and with that being said, you know, I think over. I think these guys are going to come out. These guys are embarrassed. Think about it. You lost to USF. You're embarrassed. You got to let that inner dog come out against LSU. So I'm going over.
Joey, was 25 a film rat? Did he know his pass pro responsibilities?
25.
That's Jordan.
Oh. Are you talking about when me and Jordan play? Of course. Of course.
Jordan was
I was the best pass blocker we had.
Jordan was a student of the game. Jordan went to St. Jordan came from a good program too. You know, Jordan was at St. Thomas Aquinas. Jordan came from a good program, and you know, Jordan knew his stuff. Jordan was always a smart guy. Jordan, you're coaching too now, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm coaching right now.
Yeah, they see they don't. You gotta be a smart. If you're not smart, they won't bring you in. So Jordan's a smart guy. Jordan knows his stuff.
Would either of you have Eugene Wilson trying to block a defensive tackle in your schemes?
How big would your eyes get, Joey? How big would your eyes get if a 5'11", 180, 90-pound receiver? The ball snapped, and all of a sudden the guard and the center are gone, and all you see is a slot receiver in front of you.
I'm trying to think what Rump used to say when there's when it if it smells like shit, it's shit.
Yeah, Rump had a lot of sayings,
though. Like, he
that's profound. That is so profound.
Let me take that back. It was not Rump that said that exactly, because Rump did not curse. Rump, I've never heard Rump say a curse. Yeah, Rump, life. Curse. Rump, so let me take that back, because I don't want to say that, because Rump is an amazing guy. I've never heard him say a curse word. So if it smells like crap, it's crap. That's probably what he said. So. Okay.
All right. It hit better with shit. I'm gonna be honest with you.
All right. DJ Lago has been sacked 3 times this year. LSU obviously has a good defensive line. Do we think DJ Lago or Tramell Jones, who's ever playing at quarterback throughout the game, gets sacked more than 2 times? And we might have a change at right tackle this position or this year. Go check out Nick's information if you want more. Nick, what do you have? Gators allow 2 or more sacks?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go over, but I think it'll be right around that. I just think LSU is good. You are making a change or a change in the reps, not a change at starter, but a change in how many reps each of them are getting between Caden and Bryce, that's a tough place to start getting more reps. A lot of the sacks are more on holding the ball or being indecisive, which I think is coming with what we said on Monday of DJ kind of looks like a football player who hasn't practiced football in 9 months because he hasn't. I think he gets better in that aspect as every game, as he gets more reps, more live reps and experience. I'm going to go over to, we'll say, okay. Florida will sack Nuss more than DJ will get sacked, but over to.
Okay. Jordan.
Yeah, I think I'm riding with Nick on this, man. I feel the same way, especially with us changing our offensive line for this game due to, you know, the not being productive at that position. So between that and Lagway kind of getting knocking the rust off, I feel like LSU's good enough to get to. They got guys on scholarship, too, who are really well at defensive line. So just got to give credit where it's due. I think it'll be a good game overall, but they can definitely get 2.
Okay, Corey.
Yeah, the next 2 weeks is going to be a real test for our offensive line. I think these are the 2 best defensive lines we're going to face this season between LSU and Miami, 2 very talented fronts. I don't trust our offensive line until they show me better, especially in pass pro. I think they're better in run than pass. I'm not going to believe it, so give me the over.
Okay, I got over as well. Joey.
I got over. Same. I feel the same way. Corey, same thing. LSU historically, you know, they've always got a pretty good defense ready to play. Same thing. I mean, until they're tested and prove themselves, like, I mean, if I'm a betting man, I'm saying over.
Right.
All right. This is a fun one. The Gators call 1 or more timeouts in the game after coming out of a timeout, a TV timeout, some sort of stoppage in play. Nick.
Yo,
6 opportunities. That is a good one. 6 opportunities over.
Yeah, I'm definitely going over. Might even go double over. Jordan.
I guess I got to rock the
boat. Hey, it's the law of averages, Jordan. That's how you use the law of averages, Nick. Corey, over. Joey.
Over.
yeah, I didn't even get my opinion. You just know it's over, right? Yeah. getting a timeout, like, we already annoyed of the commercial breaks and, you know, the timeouts, whatever they have going. It's just a lot in college football these days. And then Billy come out of the commercial, and then we go right back to a commercial. I'm like, come on, bro. Let's get this third down out of the way.
ESPN loves a Billy Napier called football game. I'll tell you that much.
It's a 7:30 ABC game. Mickey Mouse is paying so much money be able to play these games. The commercials will be egregious on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it being over at around 11:30. let's pick who's our leading receiver this week in terms of yards. Last week was Eugene Wilson. Nick.
DB3, that's my guy.
Okay, he led on week 1. Jordan.
I'm rolling back with my boy VB3. I think he's going to have another great game and do his thing.
Corey.
Give me Eugene again. I like it for Eugene again. I think it could have very well been Vernell if he would have came down that one pass.
Yes.
So it's going to be close.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Eugene Wilson, myself, and then Joey.
I would say VB3 as well. You know, I think the consistency definitely seemed a little shaky. But I mean, you know, like I said, I'm all about the mental toughness. So, you know, his coach grabs him and it feeds him I'm big on mentorship. So he feeds him not just the right coaching points, but guidance and mentorship. You know, he's going to have a game. That kid is talented.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, he got the best mentorship. He got the lineage, Joey. Like right. Pops got his mind right. So I don't think
he's gonna get his mind right. Oh yeah, for sure.
He's got Pop, he's got Grandpa, and then Billy G. Being around practice now, Billy G is awesome. Had never really seen him talking with his room, but over the course of fall camp, like Billy G's a guy.
Sure.
All right, we're going to do a pick of the game, but do we think the Gators cover the 7.5-point spread? Nick?
Yes.
I hope so.
I hope so.
Jordan?
Yeah, I think we covered this spread up, man. I think Florida usually thrives as an underdog, so I think we covered this spread up.
Corey?
Nah, I mean, be positive, man. It's been rough two games, man. Yeah, I think we covered the spread.
Okay, I'm going to say no. Joey?
That's a tough one. You know, I'm going to be positive here, too. I'm going to say yes, even though part of me is wants to say go the other direction, but I'm going to say yes.
I don't got it in me, bro. I'm going to be honest with you, bro.
Right, like, right.
We're going to release standings, Joey. So play with your brain, not with your heart. You know what I mean?
Right, all right. Come on. Put on a brave face.
They can't say you're not a ball nor, bro. You played at a high level. So don't worry. Just get your.
All right.
What can a fan tell you, man?
All right. So this will be the last one. Who wins the game outright, LSU or Florida? Nick.
Over the last 20, Florida is 7-13. 1-8 in Baton Rouge, last 15 since Tebow, 4-11, 1-6. And I don't think the operation the last 3 years has traveled well. It's traveled like milk in an unrefrigerated car across country, LSU.
Okay. Jordan.
Based upon hearing those numbers, that kind of
still. Don't let them sway you. Up. Think with your heart, not with your mind.
Well, if I'm thinking like that, Gators by a million, baby. Come on.
By a million.
Hold on. Let me. You guys to do two opposite things. All right.
Jordan, you shaved your – you got rid of your dreads, man?
Oh, yeah baby. Yeah. This thing's out of here.
No more rosters.
Look at Jordan. I had to zoom in to see that. That's a different Jordan.
Yeah, man. Had to clean it up and everything. For the new phase in life, man. I had to clean it up.
Looks good, man.
I got the sharp cut. I got my grown man vibes, you know.
If he's walking in the locker room with long locks, they ain't gonna know if he's a player or a coach.
Exactly. Still already a mistake for that.
Jordan went from Rasta to military general.
Joey, I asked him a couple of weeks ago, what was the helmet size difference once he cut the dreads? He said two sizes. Yeah.
Oh my
God. Right, I'm dressed with steak, dog.
Oh my goodness.
Jordan, who do you have? LSU or Florida?
I'm going Florida.
Okay. Corey.
Man, I'm gonna go Florida because if it isn't Florida, then it's over. We get these boards fired up, man. Coaching boards on deck. So I win either way, right?
Okay.
Give me Florida. I win either way, Jordan. It don't matter.
That's real.
My coaching board graphics are already made. I'm going LSU. Joey.
If I put money on the line, forget that.
Clean it up, bro. Like lay it out, bro.
I got Florida because it's at home.
No, it's in Baton Rouge.
Outdoor, right? It's over.
It's at Baton Rouge, okay.
Yeah.
That's how you know I haven't been locked in at all.
God bless you, man.
That's crazy. I didn't know.
Yeah. That's crazy. Good. You live in peace, bro.
He's being a dad. He's hanging out with the girls.
I run my own business.
Touching grass. You know,
Right. That's crazy. That's wild. Okay. So it's that bad. Oh, that's tough. Which makes sense now. We were talking about the goal line stop. Yeah. Oh man, that is the most intimidating place to play football in college football.
They got to be ready to go.
I mean, there's no money on the line, so I'm gonna say Florida.
I gotta do it. Oh man! All right, guys. So that brings us.
I wanted to get Joey's perspective. Joey was on the goal line.
Ask Jordan about it, but Jordan was like me.
He was on the sideline.
You know, it's like when you experience like a high like that, man, when you get a stop like that, it's like almost so cloudy to think about. But I just remember, you know, the guys around me, you know, you got Taven in there, you got Brantley, you know, Marcel Harris, Jordan Sherritt. I mean, everyone was in on that play. It was unbelievable, man. And the celebration afterwards. I mean, the feeling was unbelievable. It was unreal. I'll never forget that feeling. Now, can something like that be done again? Absolutely. But you know, at the time, we also had a top three defense in the whole country. No one was, you know, our defense was ridiculous, man. I mean, the talent we had, it was insane.
Yeah.
So.
Buddy, Jimmy Mack walked into that building with an NFL defense.
I mean, I mean, think about it. Our whole starting defense went to the league and the backups. You know, yes. I mean,
Muschamp does not miss, bro. His hit rate was absolutely crazy on defense.
Problem is he would have six safeties in every class, and all of a sudden you're like, wait, why do we have four offensive linemen? We can't even have a spring game.
Well, look at what he's done in Georgia.
Yeah.
People don't know he's that guy can find freaking talent. I don't care if they're not on the radar, whoever they are. You know, we got guys like Jared Davis, you know, Taven Bryan, a lot of these guys, people I didn't even hear of. And these guys were unbelievable.
Alex Angelo.
Alex, I just actually got lunch.
Antonio Morrison.
That guy was a monster.
One of my favorite Gators, bro. Just a straight up killer. Yeah.
Well, I felt so comfortable out there. I mean, I knew those guys were going to make the play. That's what the best part about it is that you got everyone around. You look around and everyone's just we were ready for anything. And we didn't think any offense, nobody could play with us.
My favorite defensive play in the Muschamp era was when Antonio Morrison laid out EJ Manuel. My favorite defensive play by far.
True freshman year
coming
too,
downhill with straight gangsterness, bro. Like that was crazy. I jumped in my damn on my couch when he did that, bro.
That was what that guy. I was in high school, so that's what got me fired up. Like I was like, dang, I'm walking into some real killers, yes,
real life and play dogs.
Oh my gosh! Oh, we didn't mention this. This is a crazy take right here, guys. But I'm just gonna say it now. I say USF is gonna beat Miami.
That's crazy.
Let's go.
I don't think so, Joey.
Yeah. Let's go. I'm gonna speak it. I'm gonna put it out there, and the reason why is because if USF beats Miami, which you know, common sense is gonna say absolutely not, it's gonna make us look 10 times better. Even though we lost,
that's
USF.
What I'm kind of hoping for them to have a great season.
I'm hoping for the sake of us as the Florida Gators that USF somehow beats Miami, and then people are gonna back off a little bit. Wait, USF, you know they come.
I do think USF has some talent and they're coached very well by Alex Golish out there, you know. But I think Miami offensive line, they play so sound. I just think they're going to dominate it in the trenches. I think
that's why I said it was a crazy take.
Yeah. Beckett's going to have time to throw. They're going to have holes to run through. It's just going to look like a, you know, a 4 or 5 year program.
Yeah. And then now it's going to be 40-7 watch Miami. You know,
I do think
they're gonna clip that take, and you're gonna see it all over social media, Joey.
Right, oh, for sure.
I don't have.
Miami's definitely listening to this.
I don't have X anymore, guys. I was banned. I was suspended, and I like 3 years ago.
Oh, well, Elon Musk, bag. You can say whatever you want these days.
Yeah, come back.
I do think USF, despite win or loss, will be the G5 representative in the playoff, though. They have South Carolina State, Charlotte, North Texas, FAU, Memphis, UTSA, Navy, UAB, and Rice to end the year. Find me an L. I can't.
I'm going to put Alex on my board next week. My alleged board? Alleged board.
Okay.
I might have Golish on it. We'll see.
Well, that wraps up the show. Joey, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, man. Thank you for having me. It was good to talk Gator football. It's been a while. As you could tell, I didn't even know if we were playing home or away. So I've been a little out of it. But Jordan, you could probably understand this. When you put so much heart into something, that it becomes a part of you in your life forever. So it's like, you know, now I'm at the age where, like, you know, I need to be more involved. I need to be more invested into, you know, a team, a university that changed, altered the course of my entire life. I positively, you know, the experiences, the memories, what we went through, you know, it's a huge part of your life forever. So, gotta get back into it. I appreciate you guys having me on here, Jordan. It's always a pleasure to see you, man. And Corey,
are you back in state? Where you living at? You back in Florida? You back home?
No, I'm in Atlanta, North Atlanta, about an hour north. I drove. You know, it's crazy. I drove down for the Florida State game last year, and I drove back the same night. I didn't want to stay. You know, I want to get back to my kids and everything. Actually, KT was trying to get me to stay, Jordan.
Oh, God.
I was like, you know, hey, I love KT. I'm like, KT, you're gonna get me in trouble, man. I know myself. You know, I don't want to overindulge and do something stupid, drink too much. Yeah, I'm out. You know, I'm out. He's crazy. No staying in Gainesville for me.
Love it. Well,
you gonna make it up to any game this year? You got any plans to make it to a game this year?
Yeah, I want to get down to a game. Actually, I talked to Caleb Brantley. Y'all should get him on here at some point. You know, I'm proud of Caleb and where he's at. He's really the amount after catching up with him for, I talked to him for like 2 hours, 2 months ago, the amount he's, you know, matured as a person and grown up. I'm proud of where he's at right now. And, you know, we were talking about trying to meet up for a game at some point this year. It's going to be tough. I'm not going to lie. If we end up losing to LSU and a few games, I don't even want to say it, but it's hard. It'd be hard to go down to a game when we're you know, going through a losing season, but still showing support is support at the end of the day, you know, being there, you know, and it's hard. Those coaches don't want to lose. People don't want to lose their jobs. That's their livelihood. You know, that's one of the hardest things to be as a coach. I would love to try to get down for a game. You know, I would love it.
That's why you got to hire an offensive coordinator, Joey.
Right. It's a cutthroat business, man. It has to be at that level. If not, go coach at a smaller school.
Right.
You know, you can't play around.
So.
All right. Well, that wraps up another episode of Game Day Eve, again, presented by the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group. Give them a call at 727-258-0043. Thank you so much, Joey, for joining today, and we will see you guys next week.